Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for being here, for the heads that are bowed in your presence, Lord, and for loving us, and for watching over us, and for giving your Son to, Lord, to pull our Father out of the fire. Let us thank you, Lord, for every opportunity to minister to Kate. And, Lord, I pray for opportunities to minister to her family and friends, especially whenever it comes to the church service. Please bless our time here, Lord. I know there's people gathering together across the nation and across the world, Lord, to worship and praise you, and even just to take a time aside from the world. Please bless us, Lord, I pray. Please help us this evening. You know what it is that we need, and I pray you, Lord, whether it be in a reading or a song or the teaching and preaching, that there would be a help for us there. In the meantime, Lord, thank you for loving us, for all the things that you've sent away. And we leave our prayer requests and our petitions, public and private, at your feet, and pray that you would grant them according to your will. And we pray especially for Israel at this time too. Please defeat all our enemies, Lord. Love you and thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. If anybody has a song they'd really like sung this morning or this evening, I would be more than happy to entertain it. But to get us going, Mrs. Bradfield, if you wouldn't mind, we'll take and turn to number 2 in the wee black book. Number 2 in the wee black book. I'm all for lots of Christmassy hymns, but sometimes it seems like eating apple tart all the time instead of having meat and potatoes. So I would like to like for us all to sing this blessed old book, hymn number 2 in the wee black book.
Book.
You just took the opportunity when I had my reading glasses on to pick one that I'll be able to read now instead of guessing the words like I had to do this morning. Fort thou wouldst leave thy throne. That's grand. All right. That'll be the next two hymns picked for us. Number
76.
76. Swanson Royal David Singh. That'll do. If you're fit, let's stand as we sing. Swanson Royal David.
Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me onto the east gate of the Lord's house, which stood with eastward, and opened the door of the gate 25 men, among whom I saw Azaniah, son of Asher, and Pelatiah, the son of Benaniah, princes of the people. Then said unto me, Son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in the city, which say it is not near, but is built houses, the city is the cauldron, and we be the flesh. Therefore prophesy against them, prophesy, O son of man. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me, and said unto me, Speak, thus saith the Lord, thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mouth, every one of them. Ye have multiplied your stain in the city, and ye have filled the streets thereof with the slain. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, your stain when ye have laid in the midst of it, they are the flesh, and the city is a cauldron, but I will bring you forth out of the midst of it. Ye have feared the sword, and I will bring a sword upon you, saith the Lord God. And I will bring you out of the midst thereof, and deliver you into the hands of strangers, and will execute judgments among you. You shall fall by sword, and I will judge you in the border of Israel, and shall know that I am the Lord. This day shall not be your cauldron, nor shall you be the fish in the midst thereof, but I will judge you in the border of Israel, and shall know that I am the Lord. For ye have not walked in my statutes, neither executed my judgments, but have done after the manners of the heathen that are round about you. And it came to pass when I passed out that Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, died. Then fell I down upon my face and cried with loud voice and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou make a full end of the remnant of Israel? Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thy brother, even thy brother, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel, holy are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get you far from the Lord, unto us is this now given in possession. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, Although I have cast them afar off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people, and send you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel, and I shall come hither, and shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit upon you, I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. Then did the cherubim lift up their wings, and the wheels beside them, and the glory of the Lord God of Israel was over them above. And the glory of the Lord went up into the midst of the city, and stood upon the mountain which is on the east side of the city. Afterwards the Lord took me up, and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God into Chaldea, to them of the captivity. So the vision that I had seen went up for me, and I spake unto them of the captivity all the things that the Lord had showed me. Amen. Amen.
This is Will was reading the bit about the names of all the people that caused trouble, the 25. I was just thinking about all of our politicians in this country and the great trouble that they have brought upon the people of Northern Ireland, and indeed the similar ones over in England. They're going to have a lot to answer for some of these days. Maybe a lot quicker than they realise. But anyway, we're commanded to pray for our leaders. Doesn't mean we commanded that they get everything they want, but they'll get everything that they need. And just keep praying. Just keep praying. Don't forget the prayer lists. We went through all of our prayer requests this morning, so I'm not going to spend any more time there. I have a request for hymn number, let's see, hymn number 422 in the big books, if you'd like to take them from there. Hymn number 422, Thou didst leave thy throne. Just remain seated as we sing.
But in heaven.
favourite?
34.
In the black book. 34 in the black book. Let's turn that and we'll stand and sing. Hymn number 34 is... There we go. Amen. Jehovah's in Kenya. That stands.
I knew.
be seated. Thank you very much. Good picks, good songs. It's funny how some of the songs that we thought we would never learn become favourites. But there you go. Amen. We are in the book of Mark this evening. If you'd like to take a turn there, I'll give you the reference even now. 2 seconds, Mark chapter. I think we're in Mark chapter 8 this evening. In 2 seconds. There we go. Amen. We are in Mark chapter 8, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 22. The title for the message this evening is The Day of the Triplets. Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse number 22. And the title for the message is The Day of the Triplets. No, I haven't mixed up my Bible with my phone viewing. This is the... Oh, there's two or three, a couple of films and a couple of TV series called The Day of the Triplets. I don't know if anybody knows, but that's about trees walking, so I thought it was just as good a title as any. There's only a handful of verses here, and I know we refer to this one often. It's well worth considering again as I work my way through the Gospels, and I hope and pray it is a help to you, not just this evening, but from here on out in your Christian life. Amen. The Word of God says, Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse number 22, And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring him, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, Neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. Amen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 verses of scriptures. Talking about the Day of the Triplets. Well, that's the title. We're not talking about the Day of the Triplets because triplets aren't real unless you happen to be watching too many science fiction movies. And then there is real as a warp drive in the TARDIS. But anyway, well, you lead us in a wee word of prayer, brother, if you would.
Heavenly Father, thank you for being safe and in your house tonight, Lord. And pray for us, excuse me, Lord, give more touches, Lord, God, may I praise thy great holy name among the sacrifice of the Son, your Son died on the cross for us and for saving our souls, and Lord. Remember this time of year, or this the time when Jesus came into the world to have fulfilled that great and powerful sacrifice for us, of your unbounded love to us, that by being that Son of Christ died for us, in God the Lord, and that we may be forgotten the Father of you, Lord, and Lord, and for saving our souls by that powerful Lord. Remember Absalom Brown with Dr. Shag bringing Frankfurt, keep safe and well, bring him safely back. I'm trusting that, Lord, can join mercy, keep him safe and well, Lord. Remember Kate, Lord, when our family, Lord, we may be able to use it to send a message to lost souls, Lord, that they need to see them right away, Lord, for the saving grace, Lord, put their trust in them to be saved by their powerful forever and ever, Lord. Save us, my name, Lord, and raise that great holy name throughout this land, Lord, and throughout this world, Lord. With the churches, the missionaries, the evangelists, the pastors, and all our Christian workers that have our Christ bought, Lord, by the Son, Lord, and our throughout this world, Lord, even the churches that happen at this moment, Lord, and may be one to the number, and in this church as well, Lord, and Lord, may we see thy face, Lord, and give us strength, Lord, and see, may we look upon thy word, Lord, and thy Son especially, Lord, and Lord, give us a blessing, Lord, and may we praise thy great holy name. Give Mark a touch of the Spirit, Lord. Guide him through the Gospel, Lord, of Mark, Lord, and Lord, give us a blessed Lord. So may we start a new week, Christ-centered, Lord, the holy name of Jesus Christ, Lord, and thy word, Lord. For thy honor, for thy glory, for Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Lord. Amen. We would appreciate the prayers for Kate Cairns' family, as well already mentioned. We've already mentioned a couple of times in the operation, if you want to put that, or the process of the meeting. A lot of lost people, a lot of folks in the Church of Ireland, and please do pray for them if you would. I'd appreciate your prayers. Amen. I love this little portion of God's Word. Because like so many other portions of God's word, it's useful to me, and it's useful to anybody. I'm not blowing my own trumpet. I don't claim to be a great preacher. But I remember a wee lady saying, during COVID, whenever we were supplying CDs to all the Sundays, she said, "I like the way you make the scriptures useful. So it's actually, we can take it and use it in everyday life." Scriptures and the Word of God were certainly useful to this blind man that the Lord and his disciples came upon on the way to Bethsaida. A blind man that, like so many of the blind, I am sure, once he heard that Jesus was come along, made sure that some of his friends that could see brought him to him. Or maybe some of his friends wanted to see this blind man made to see. And of all the healings that the Lord ever done, this is the only one that the Lord ever had to touch somebody twice to completely heal them. I want you to understand that and remember that as we look at it. And it's not a mistake. It is a life lesson for us. The first time what he does is he spits in his eyes. You know what? Normally when you spit in somebody's face, that would be a reason for a punch in the mouth. If you spit in somebody's face. But that's what he did. He spit in his eyes. And he put his hands on him and asked him if he saw. And no, he didn't say, "I see triffids and they're all coming for us. We need to run for the hills." "Salt water," they cried. "Salt water." He didn't say that. The Bible says he looked up. And he was probably going the way I used to squint as a child. I don't think I had glasses until I was nearly in my 30s. I should have had them from a nipper because I was always squinting. He said, "I can see, man, but they look like trees. I can just see the shapes, the vaguest of shapes." And the Bible records that the man said, "But you know what? It's a lot better than what I had. I will be able to take what you gave me, and I should be able to make my way home. And if that's not good enough, I can call with the priest, or I'll call with one of the physicians. And surely they'll be able to help." But it doesn't actually say that in my Bible. It says that he stood there in front of the Lord, and the Lord touched him again. And whenever he opened his eyes again, he said, "I see all things clearly." And if there was ever a verse of scripture that describes the Christian life to everybody, it is these verses. Now we know sometimes that the Lord said, "Go and tell it to all your neighbors." This time he didn't, because maybe the Lord was going into the town and wanted to get into the town to speak to as many people as possible instead of being mobbed at the entrance to the town. I don't know. But he just said, "Well, go home and go home to your house and don't tell it to anybody." The thing about it is, regardless, the law said if you were ever recovered from something like that, you had to go and show yourself to the priest. And the priest had to declare you clean and fit. So word got out, because we're reading about it here. And I got to thinking about this. As I said, it has been much on my mind ever since I read it. And you know, whenever you read a thing and you say, "Well, Lord, why is it that you had to touch this guy twice, when all the other times, you literally, sometimes even when you had to speak the words, and people were coming out of the grave, and people were raised up off of their deathbeds and their sick beds, and demons were cast out? Why is it you needed to touch that man twice?" And it is actually like, it is the Christian life. There is a point in our lives, everybody's life, where they become accountable and responsible for their own actions. As the Bible says, as Paul said, "I was alive without the law once." In other words, I didn't know my left hand from my right hand. I was, in God's grace, a child. But then he goes on to say, "But the commandment came, sin revived, and I died." That didn't mean that the priest come and cut him in two with a sword. It meant that he died spiritually inside, because he was breaking God's commandments in full knowledge of what the commandments were. And so that leaves us in a bit of a dilemma. We were alive without the law once, but once we become mature enough to understand right and wrong, we become dead in trespasses and sins, because eventually we're going to break God's law. And that old sin nature is our worst enemy. And so the answer to that, the answer to being, as the Bible also said, to being blind and then seeing, is what? Is to trust Christ as your Saviour. Is to repent of your sins and trust Christ as your Saviour. And then your eyes are open. But just like a little baby, I don't know what the developmental stages exactly are, but little babies can see whenever they're born. But that doesn't mean they recognize. After a little while, they start to recognize faces and they recognize voices and one thing and another. And they love the person that rocks them and feeds them and changes them. And that person is normally the mother or father. And they tie the voice and they tie the actions and they tie eventually the face all together. Well, it takes a while. Now, if each one of us, whenever God convicted us of our sin, and eventually the wee light bulb goes off in our heads, and we say, well, do you know what, Lord? I have realized at long last that I am a sinner and I need to be saved. Would you please save me? The Bible says we are babes in Christ. We can see, we have an idea. We can maybe see that, you know what? Once I was blind, but now I see. I can see something. And I know there's something going on. I have a vague idea of all the things going on in the world. But I don't just understand everything. I can't quite make everything out. What people might do is they might go and ask somebody else, what does that mean? How does it work? Why do we do the things that we do? But what God is showing us in this portion of Scripture is that once you're saved, once you're born again, once you're made to see after having been blind, the only person that can show you what's really going on is the Word of God. Jesus Christ, the Word of God made flesh. I'm going to give you a few examples. Some of them you will know full well straight away from fellowship and from other services that some of them is just wrong in every form or fashion. But some people are going to say to you, as they said to me many years ago when I was trying to explain Christianity to you, Mark, how is it you enjoy yourself if you don't go drinking? And I was just thinking, I said, well, how do you enjoy yourself when you do go drinking? And I had worked this all out years ago, the amount of money that goes into getting you out the door, the cover charge, the drinks, get me out a week's pay just for going out for a night's carry-on and not remember a thing about it. Maybe end up sick and even dead from it. Doesn't exactly sound like fun to me. Sounds more like Russian roulette with one empty chamber. But when people come at a new Christian, I'm going to tell you something, friends. I know of Christians, saved people, who are still seeing men as trees walking to drink. They turn up in church every week, they still drink. I know of Christians, people that are saved, still smoke. Smokes regularly and thinks nothing of it. I don't know of any Christians that take drugs, but they might be asked about, is it okay to take drugs? And the world will say yes, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. You mean you're going to have to go back to Jesus to find out what Jesus said? Yes. That's the only place where we are going to find out God's opinion on what's going on and our direction for what way we should go is the Word of God. And that doesn't mean that you're going to go on Shipley Street instead of the Strand Road. It means you're going to forsake the evil communications and you're going to look for the brethren. It means instead of listening to what the TV and the internet and the little leaflets have come through the door from HM government, you're going to look and see what the Bible says. There's one verse of scripture that I have known longer than John 3:16, and that's Proverbs 20:1. And there's a very simple reason that I know what Proverbs 21, 20 and 1 is. It says, wine is a mocker, a strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And the reason for that is, I learned it whenever I was working in my uncle's hotel from the tender age of 13 to 17. Because it used to be, 21 used to be the age you had to be into pubs. And for some strange reason, that stuck in my head. So, what about drinking? Well, I'm not sure. I'm new at this. I'm not quite sure how everything works. I'm going to check the Bible. So, you might say to Google, Google, what does the Bible say about drinking? The King James, that is. What does the King James Bible say about drinking? Say, well, Proverbs 20 and 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. In other words, if you think it's okay to drink, you've got another thing coming. That's what the Bible says. It also says, who has wounds without cause, who has, I think it's redness in their face, those that tarry long at the wine. Good. I'm glad I went back to Jesus. I am glad I can see that more clearly. What does it say about drugs? What does it say about overindulging your lusts? You might say, well, it doesn't say anything about methamphetamines or snorting cocaine. It does. The Bible says, your body, Christian, is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and him that defileth it, God will destroy. And I must make an amendment to the message this morning, because I said I could only think of one command, one thing where God would actually smack your behind for you in this world, is if you put little children off of God, if you offend a little one. It says it'd be better for you to get a millstone tied around your neck. It actually says here, if you defile your body, God will destroy you. That's it. I forgot about that one as well. Now, we have what they call in this country a nanny state, where the government wants total control over your life and will feed you and put a roof over your head and clothes on your back as long as you sit there and shut up and don't cause any bother. That's true. And so they say, we have come up with this new way of educating people. It's called RSE. Probably going to get it wrong. Relationship and Sexuality Education. Something like that. And literally all that it is teaching Wayans to have physical relationships whilst they might be physically mature, but not actually spiritually mature enough to deal with them. And it teaches not just standard physical heterosexual relationships, but all sorts of perversion, homosexuality, transgenderism, all of those things. Things which are, even as we speak, destroying people's lives. And somebody might say, a Christian in a church that sees triffids or men as trees walking might say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, the Bible says, and if you take a little look at the materials, that it's designed to make little children easy prey for child sexual predators. And the Bible says, take heed that you offend not one of these little ones, for their angels do always behold the face of their Father which is in heaven. And it would be better if there was a millstone hanging about your neck and you drop in the ocean than for God to get his hands on you. That is a job that is left solely in the province of mothers and fathers, and it is not up to the state and not up to the school to teach a child what nut and fruit and nut cake idea is currently going through their heads as the de facto way of living life, because mummies and daddies having children has been the way that society has worked and brought us to this point in time, and we are seeing the breakdown of it because of the introduction of such things like this. Don't mess with little children. Some people might say, well, what about abortion? The government says abortion is a good thing because it's legal. Friends, just because something's legal doesn't make it right. It's okay for someone to destroy a little baby in the womb, to murder that little child, to send that soul on to heaven. In fact, in all honesty, Probably better for that wean to be killed in their mother's womb than to grow up never hearing the word of God from the lips of a murderer, from the lips of someone that would murder their child, and they go straight to heaven. Probably far better for them. People say, but it's so important that we have the right to kill our unborn children. If people ever stop and listen to themselves. And the government says it's right, and America says it's right, and France and Europe say it's right, China says it's your duty. And the Christian will say, that just doesn't seem right to me. Let's see what the Bible says. And so they'll read through the Old Testament. I'm going to tell you something. If you're ever in a bind, or you're ever in a grey area about something, ask the Lord to open your eyes to it. Even do Bible bingo. Lord, please show me what verse. But read your Bible so that the Holy Spirit can bring those verses to your remembrance, or at least a word or two out of the verse, and go and look it up on your phone or your tablet or something, and get the proper chapter and verse and read it all. The Bible says that children are, I'm going to get this wrong, a heritage of the Lord, and happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. Children are like arrows in a man's quiver, and happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. They're a heritage of the Lord, a reward. The fruit of the womb is God's reward. And you need to know that the only people in the Bible, ever in the Bible, that ever set about killing their children, their little babies, were pagans and God-haters. You had the ones that worshipped Molech and offered their newborns in the hands of a big molten statue. You had the king of Egypt who was doing his best to stick it to the children of Israel and throw your children into the Nile so the alligators or the crocodiles would get them, and he would control a generation of the children of Israel. Or we have Herod killing all the two-year-olds and under just so that he could stop this king of Jerusalem, this king of Israel. They were all Christ rejectors and haters, every one of them to a man. And I'm going to tell you something. I think it was either David or Solomon at the end of their lives in an effort to, or maybe it was Saul, in an effort to placate one of their pagan wives, actually had some of his children pass through the fire. It is not a Christian right. It is not even a human right. It is a downright filthy, dirty, pagan practice that marks a person as a murderer. And it doesn't matter the colour of wrapping paper or the tinsely ribbon that the government puts on. It's very bad. And when you read the Word of God, those things that look like men as trees walking will suddenly become very clear. But you see, we've got a few others here to refer to. There is something that you and I have to do before God's word can work in our lives. And that is to lean on God's word before you lean on public opinion. The Bible says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. And the Bible says over and over and over again that God's word is life. In him is the light of the world. Paul said in Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God and the salvation of anyone that believeth. It is purpose, it is direction, it is wisdom, it is strength, it is comfort. And we should learn to lean on it regardless of what anybody else says. For our own peace of mind and our own direction in life, and for our just for the ability of ourselves to stand up and say, there might be 100 of you saying that, but God and me is a majority, and God says this. And if you trust in the Lord, he will quite literally put the words in your mouth to tell that to. He will help you to sing. If you were to be asked about, so what is wrong with the LGBTQIA plus, soon to be M? The Bible says quite plainly and clearly that any physical relationship outside of a man and a woman that's actually married to each other is forbidden, and expressly so between men and men, or women and women. Expressly forbidden. It's forbidden in the Old Testament. It's forbidden in the New Testament. It has never stopped being forbidden. I'm going to tell you, it is the breaking of God's very first commandment to man, where he said to Adam and Eve, go forth into all the world and multiply and subdue it and replenish it. That was God's first command. And the world, world's a different kettle of fish. The world will say, oh, everybody has their own, should have access to human rights, and you do. But these rights start to step on my toes and infringe my rights. And whilst they have their little parades and they have their talking heads on TV, I also am allowed to have a say. They're still wrong. I'm going to tell you, I've shared this with you before, but it's pertinent to this. I got an invite to Steve Nolan in the evening. I think I got my dinner for free out of it, but I had to hurry up and get my pudding, because once they'd finished broadcasting and they were going to chase us out of the hotel, I had to eat my pudding double quick. A whole bunch of us, and there was a woman whose son was a homosexual. There was a Presbyterian minister to one side, the talking head, one of the LGBTQIAM activists on across the table. And they asked me, what do you think of the LGBT movement? I said, the Bible says it's wrong. And he said, what do you think? I said, the Bible says it's wrong. I said, what do you think? We're not interested in what the Bible says. He says, I am allowed to have the same opinion as God. And God says it's wrong. And in this day and age, I don't know if you've noticed, there are so many things in this world that the world is lifting up that the Bible would like to cut the feet out from under and never see again. These things that we have mentioned already. But the other hot topic at the moment right now is, what do you think about the way Israel is treating Hamas right now? Because they've been really giving Hamas a hard time. And it's amazing how short people's memories are. They would give goldfish a bad name. They would make goldfish look like geniuses. You know what they say about goldfish 5-minute memory? A lot of people in this world make goldfish look like geniuses. Because you know what? Israel has more guns than Gaza. And Israel has a better army than Gaza. And Israel has more land than Gaza. Have you ever heard this argument before? They've got more guns, they've got more men, they've got more land. They should be happy with what Hamas decides to let them have. You ever heard an argument like that before? I heard that argument in a legal case very recently. Hamas hate God and hate his people. And Hamas just thought that because most world opinion is against Israel, that everybody would pile on top of Israel and force them to stop, that they would get away with murdering, 1,500, nearly 2,000 people, slaughtering and torturing babies, pregnant women, children, men. I'm going to tell you something, friends. I saw one clip from a security camera. There was a fella in flip-flops jogging away, and he wasn't a soldier. He looked like he was as out of shape as me, a couch potato. And he was just loping away like that. And he looked over his shoulder and he shot him in the head. And then whenever he went down, he came over and they shot him twice just to make sure he was dead. That is not a war. That is the execution, the terrorist execution of an innocent man. And more than that, you want to fight, fight. You want to make it fair, that's fine. But when you start trouble, regardless of whether you're Hamas or Israel, you better make sure you're able to stick around and see it through. And Hamas can't, and they're crying now because they're getting a kicking. But I want to tell you what the Bible says before you form any opinions. Before you watch our BBC, bear in mind the BBC is anti-Christian. It is anti-white, it is anti-family, it is anti-conservative. It might as well have the upside-down pentagram with a goat's head on it every evening. Does anyone remember the old test card they used to show on the BBC? And they might as well show the devil, the goat of Mendes. There are filthy, rotten, lying, thieving, murdering gifts, and they promote everything that is wicked and evil. And if you watch too much of that, that's the way your thinking is going to go. Hamas is learning the hard way that whenever you curse Israel, you're cursed. And everybody that prays for Israel, I pray the Lord's blessing upon you. I really do, because the Bible promises you that when you bless Israel, you are blessed. A lot of people would say, oh, I would stand for Israel. If I was in Germany during the time of the purges, I would be like the woman that looked after the Frank family. I would be like the Corrie Ten Boom's of this world. I would have a wee secret place for them to sleep and to live where no Germans would find them. I know full well they wouldn't. As soon as it became inconvenient, they'd be gone. There are so many pieces of our lives. The Bible says, be nice to the Jews. Go out of your way for the Jews if you want God to be nice to you and to go out of his way for you. That was never taken back. That was written in the 12th chapter of the Bible. God was speaking to Abraham. And he said, I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you, and in you, that is, in the people that come from you, that spring from you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And we are. Because we have got Jesus Christ out of the deep. Those are a few of the hot topics. I am sure when people come to the likes of raising children, all we want the children to wait until they're 15 or 16 to decide whether they want to live as a boy or a girl. The Bible says, train a child up in the way they shall go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. The Bible gives men quite clearly the role model they are to fill. Men, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. In other words, the man is the interface between the world and his family. Even to the cost of his life. That is what the Bible says. Women are commanded to love their husband. But more than that, the older women are commanded to show the younger women how to love their husband. It's not a wee palpitation and an opening of the iris and a little bit of light perspiration. That's not love. That's just lust. That's a feeling that will pass. All of these things are in the Bible, and the world will say, what does the world always say? Follow your heart. Let your feeling light the way. What does the Bible say? The heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. In other words, do what you know, not what you feel. So many parts of our lives that the world has an opinion on, or that we are tempted for. I'm going to close with one. Did anyone ever play Got You Last with your wee brothers or sisters whenever you were little? We used to. Thankfully, I was the biggest in that, but I'm the fastest. But it was a case of you run up and you hit them on the way, I got you last, and then you try and run before they could get you. God says you're not supposed to play that game in life. The Lord said, dearly beloved, give place unto wrath, for vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. We are supposed to depend on him to avenge us. That doesn't mean we sit down and be rolled over like a doormat. There's things we have to leave in God's hands for our own benefit. God says, yeah, I'll never see you stuck or short. Don't you ever worry about that. And he'll never throw you away. A lot of people say, "Oh, I've been bad and I can't go to I couldn't go to God." God will take anybody. Worst sinner, God will take him. There was a girl many years ago that in a state in America, unfortunately for her, that had the death penalty, that killed an elderly couple for a few dollars with a hammer, out of her mind on drugs. And while she was waiting on death row, she got saved. And other people start doing, "Oh, she's got saved, she's turned over a new leaf. Release her. She can be a great example." And she was a great example. She said, "I did that awful thing. I deserve the death penalty. I don't want to be released. But God has saved my soul. And even though I can never bring those folks back, God is going to take me to heaven when this life's over." And she was executed, but she went to heaven. Friends, if you are having difficulty with anything in your life, the first thing you do, well, the thing you should be doing anyway is reading your Bible, but the first thing you do is say, "God, I'm having a problem understanding this part of my life. The world says this. I'm tempted to do that. I feel like doing something else. But what does the Bible say?" And I know there's many times when we just want to wring somebody's neck for them. We feel like it. And we feel we probably would be justified in doing it a lot of the times. But what does the Bible say? No matter what it is, no matter where you are in life, no matter who it is, always check with God. And the great thing about checking with God the first few times is that'll probably cover most of your problems. The times where you need to check with God will become fewer and fewer, and the times you'll have to wait on him will become fewer and fewer, because he will have instructed you. And that's what it means to be getting wise, to learning more about God. I'm not standing here and telling you I understand everything. And I'm not standing here and telling you that I don't make those same mistakes again in the heat of a moment. Because we do. But when things come your way, if you're not sure about them, ask the Lord. Amen. Hope that's a help to you. God bless you. Remember, it's salt water for trippets. Salt water kills trippets. I was going to say, don't be saying that. I'll edit that out in post. Don't worry. Has anybody got a suggestion for a closing hymn? John, did you get one?
Not as big as
that. Oh, excellent. That works for me. Let's do number 80, back of the book. This should technically, is this our first of our new batch of Christmas hymns at the very, very back of the book? Because we worked from the back end, didn't we?
The back are old.
Yeah, but it was the very first of our new Christmas hymns.
Number
80, as with gladness, then hold. Let's stand as we sing this Christmas Eve carol hymn. Oops, not five. Amen. Let's make a joyful noise. Thank you. Pray a good week. I know it's going to be a crazy week out in the world. Keep your wits about you and the eyes open on the back of your head. You just don't know what's going through other people's minds when they're out and about, especially if they're driving cars. But let's bow our heads and we'll be closed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this little bit of sanity in a crazy world right now. And please bless us as we go our separate ways. Thank you for loving us and preserving your word for us. Let us lean more and more on that as the days grow darker and darker. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for your promise of being one of our number. And we just ask, Lord, that you would see us safely home and back at the next appointed time. We love you and praise you. Amen. Folks, dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands.